and now evangelist David Shannon.
Open your Bibles to Titus, the third chapter. Titus, the third chapter. Government. The topic for tonight. A topic that there have been many to say, I just wish government would get out of the lives of the people. I wish we could just do away with all political offices. I wish we would do away with every phase of government. I don't like it. I don't like taxes. And the remarks go on and on and on. And I suggest to you one thing this evening that I hope that you'll take home with you and that you'll study. And that is, a Christian should realize that God ordained government. And to knock or to do away with the fact of government is to do away with something that God intended for people to have. You see, we can go back very early in the Scriptures and we find governments being organized very quickly. You see, in Genesis, the 41st chapter, we see that already a government has been set up, and the one that is the head ruler over that is a man we know as Pharaoh. He had a dream about a creature that was very fat, and it was eaten by seven fat creatures were eaten by seven lean creatures. There were seven stalks of corn, and seven of those were very beautiful stalks of corn, and seven lean stalks of corn came, and they devoured the other seven. And finally, no one in the kingdom could tell what the interpretation of this dream was except the one. And you know the story. It was Joseph. And what was Joseph's interpretation from God? Pharaoh, there's going to be 7 years of plenty. But those 7 years of plenty are going to be eaten up by 7 years of famine, 7 years of lean. Well, what should we do about it, Joseph? Pharaoh, I advise to you that you set up one man that is wise and set him in charge of many officers and put an officer over each land. And for those 7 years, I suggest to you that you have those officers collect one-fifth of what is grown and store them in big storehouses, because when those 7 years of famine come, that is going to be the only thing that will keep your nation alive. Brethren, that's government. One man over many men collecting what you and I would call today pretty close to taxation. Why? To give order to the people. To give a way of an outlook of supervision, of guidance. We see also in Daniel, the first chapter, that even there were some, not all, but there were some schools that were even supported through the government. You see, they were taking the very wise young men of the children of Israel and they were bringing them into the king's household there. And for 3 years they would train them in the tongues of the Chaldeans. But these men had to be wise. They had to be men of science. They had to be able to conduct themselves orderly in the king's home. And the list went on and on of the qualifications that these young men might have. And after 3 years, they were to be advisors. They were to be part of the wise men, even though they would be young, for the king and for that nation. You see, there we have a biblical example of a government supplying schools, even though it was a small school system. We see also in the New Testament, in Mark the 12th chapter, they thought they would finally trick Jesus, because Jesus had said that there should not be a respecter of persons, that all men are created equal. So they come up to Jesus and they say, aha, so what do we do about Caesar? Do we give him the taxation he's asking for? And he holds up the coin and he says, whose superscription is on that coin? And they say, Caesar's. And he says, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. In other words, pay your taxes and give to God. You see, government is not something that's new. And it's not something that man just happened to come up with. It's something that God has intended for man to be under ever since near the beginning of man. With that in mind, let's look at Titus, the third chapter, verse 1. Remembering that Paul is writing to Titus, preparing him to go down to that island of 100 cities, the island of Crete. And remember, we've already brought out from our studies in Titus that the people were very disorderly in their tongue. Now, they have been under the Roman rule for well over 100 years at the time this is written. So government is nothing new to them. They know very much about government, but they also know that they don't like the Roman government. And here's what Paul tells Titus to convince the Christians of in that time. Titus 3:1, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers and to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. To put them to mind. In other words, today you and I would say, remind them of the fact that they are to obey. They are to submit to those in authority above them. Brethren, it's so important that you and I put this in our mind. You see, the truth is, all laws, all submission to God, to authority, and to anything that is good should be put into our mind. That's where it begins. That is where obedience begins, in the mind. If you and I wait for the situation to occur before we make a decision, in most cases, we'll make the wrong decision. Now, did you hear me? If we wait for the situation to occur before we make the decision, in most cases, we'll make the wrong decision. Why? God's Word and submitting ourselves to God's authority and to the authority of others is something that should be put to mind. Our state of mind should be one of obedience. It shouldn't be one of self-ruling until a decision has to be made, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to make this decision or whether or not I allow God to make this decision. Our very state of mind must be one that always looks to God. Now, before we go any deeper into this and to think about government, let's remember the first commandment. They came to Jesus and they said, what is that? And He said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now this evening, if you will, for illustration's sake, I want you to imagine that commandment being written in the shape of an umbrella. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second's likened to it. But it's not the greatest. It's the second. It's a little bit shorter. And it's underneath this umbrella. And that is, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now in verse 40 He says, under these hangs all of the law and the prophets. Now, do you have that illustration in mind? The first commandment is the umbrella over all commandments. The second commandment is over all commandments except for the first. And under these two hang every one of the laws. Now, what is one of the laws? One of the laws is to always obey authority unless that authority requires you to disobey the greatest commandment or the second commandment. So as we speak this evening, please realize that I am not in any way saying that we should obey government to the point of disobedience to God. That is not what God suggests. God suggests as long as government can be obeyed and be under the umbrella of the first and second commandment, that it should be done. An illustration of that is in Acts the 5th chapter, whenever the government arrested the apostles for teaching the gospel, they beat them and they commanded them not to teach the gospel, and the very next verse says that they left there rejoicing that they could suffer for the cause of Christ, and then the very next verse says, and they continued daily to teach and to preach. Now how could they do that? How could they openly disobey the government? Because government was trying to have them to disobey the umbrella, the first and greatest commandment. So as we look at obedience to government, please realize it's never to the disobedience of God. Here, He says to put these things to mind. Obedience to authority always is a state of mind. And for a few minutes, I want to read to you a few scriptures about the mind. Of course, we've already mentioned the first commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Notice also 2 Timothy 2:15 deals with the mind. Study to show thyself approved unto God. What are we to do? Study. It takes an effort. It takes the mind digesting the Word of God so that we can prove ourselves to God and so that we can rebuke false doctrine and the other things that are listed there in 2 Timothy 3:16. Notice also Mark 14:72. He says, this is about Peter. And you remember, He was warned that he would deny. He did deny three times. The cock crowed once, nothing happened. The cock crowed twice, and notice what it said. The second time the cock crew, Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, and when he thought thereon, he wept. Brethren, the word of God has to be in our mind. And Peter allowed the word of God to slip from his mind, and he denied Jesus once, and he thought he was okay. He denied Jesus twice, and he thought he was okay. He denied the third time, and still nothing was wrong. The cock crowed once, and nothing happened to Peter. It crowed the second time, and what happened? His mind began to work. And he realized that he had bluntly disobeyed the Word of God and the words that Jesus said. And he went out and he wept bitterly. Brethren, I suggest to you strongly tonight, if you've never thought about how important the mind is in your obedience to Christ, believe it tonight. You cannot obey the commands of God without it first starting in the mind. Also in Romans the 12th chapter and verse 12, a verse we're all familiar with, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Well, how do we do it, Paul? How do we make sure that we're not conformed to the world, that we're transformed? By the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Brethren, over and over, the Word of God says the mind is the key to obedience to God. It all begins there. Also, 2 Timothy, the first chapter and verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You see, reading the Word will create a sound mind. For time's sake, we won't read Philippians 2, but Philippians 2, 1 through 5, over and over, and all five of those verses emphasize that if we are going to be what we should be, we have to have the mind of Christ, that we have to be like-minded with Christ, it says, and that we must have the one mind of Christ. Over and over in five verses, the complete thought is, if we want to be the Christian we should be, it begins and ends in the mind. How important it is that our mind is converted to Jesus Christ. Because once the mind is proper, the actions, the attitudes, the obedience will flow forth from that. And so the first thing that Titus says, as Paul says, as he sends Titus down to that island of Crete to talk with those that want to rebel against government, he says, you remind them to put in their mind that government should be submitted to. Let's look at that just for a moment. That government should be submitted to. If you will, look with me to Romans the 13th chapter. In Romans the 13th chapter, and in just a moment we'll turn over to 1 Peter, these are the two most powerful passages we have in the New Testament about government. In Romans the 13th chapter in verse 1, it says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. So he makes it very clear here, God is the one that ordained government. God is the one that set it into order. And when we rebel against government, we rebel, he says there in verse 2, against God. And we bring upon ourselves damnation. Why would God believe and command so strongly that we have a government? Brethren, can you imagine this evening if we did away in a snap of a finger of every form of government in America? Can you imagine how many thousands and thousands of criminals would be loose, wandering around? Can you imagine the next time your house was broken into, your first reaction would be, call who? We did away with government. Can you imagine when the roads tear up, who are we going to call? We did away with government. Can you imagine when a natural disaster hits, the first thing we think of is either one of two things, insurance, or the federal government will provide aid. It wouldn't be there. God gave us government to give rule and order to nations of people. The second reason He gave it is within the first reason, but it's a little more detailed. And that is to give a temporary punishment to evildoers. Brethren, evil would take over and rule the world if there was not some kind of temporary punishment. Notice, that's Bible, that's not David. Look at 1 Peter. At 1 Peter, the second chapter, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. For, why? The Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by Him, for the punishment of evil doers, and for the praise of them that do well. And then he continues on that same subject. In verse 18, he still emphasizes that authority should be upheld. And that is, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. You see, God has intended that men and women that call themselves Christians submit to authority. I think you and I would strongly believe that slavery is wrong. Here he says, I'm not arguing the point of slavery. I'm arguing the point that Christian servants should submit to authority that's under the umbrella of the first and second command. Here he says in verse 13, I'm not arguing if you believe that your king is fair. I'm not arguing if you think that he always makes the greatest decisions. He says, I'm saying obey him as long as he falls under the first and second commandments. Brethren, submission to government, submission to all authority that is not outside of the umbrella of the first and second commandment is desired and commanded by God Himself, because He ordained that sort of order among our civilization. It's so important that we beware of it and that we live it. And it's so important that we don't fall into a state of mind of, well, I'm going to decide if the government is using my taxes fairly, and then I'll decide whether or not I'll pay them. I'm going to decide if I like the way that they're handling situations, and then I will decide whether or not I'll support them. Brethren, it's hard to swallow and to accept in every circumstance, I know. But after studying much this topic this week, I can't find any other way except to say, if it is sin, don't obey. If it's not sin, we must obey. It's that simple. Even the servants had to obey masters. When they were free from the bondage of sin, they still were not free from their masters. So why would we think that we should have some kind of special ordinance to free us from authority? Notice, though, it doesn't end there. I believe with all of my heart that God desires Christians to be above average citizens. Why do I say that? Notice how he ended that very first verse in Titus 3. The way he ended it was by saying, and to be ready to every good work. So he says, don't only put it to mind, and don't only obey them, but look around and see what you might do that's good to help the government. Brethren, there are so many volunteer programs that do so much good. There are tutoring programs that help children. There are programs that help men and women learn how to read and write and learn mathematics. There are programs, volunteer programs at hospitals. There are volunteer programs to clean up litter. There are so many things that we could be a part of to help our communities, our county, our state, our nation. I think voting is good. I think, believe with all of my heart, even having Christians in office is great. These are things that is good. These are things that we should be striving for as Christians, because we are a part of this nation. And if we make our government better, we've made our lives better. We've made this nation better. We've made our communities better. And hopefully we've made an environment that will allow us to convert more souls. The truth is, if we rebel and openly disobey the laws of this land, I doubt seriously we will have much influence in converting the communities. Their thoughts are going to be very plainly, if they disobey this authority, why should I respect who they think is authority? Number one, it sets a bad attitude. It sets a bad example. Number two, God strictly says it brings damnation upon us. This evening, what kind of citizen are you? I challenge you this evening to study more on this subject. That is just the tip of the iceberg of the examples that we have of government in the Bible. But I also challenge you to take home the principles that's laid forth. The principles are God-ordained government. God expects obedience to government so long as it does not exceed the umbrella of the first and second command. And God expects us to be that kind of example for the world. Tonight, what kind of example are you? Are you a discouragement to those about you? Or are you an encouragement because you're living Christ-like? Have you ever become a child of God? If not, you can't be the example that you should be. You can't have the godly life that you should have without becoming a child of God. Tonight, let us all strive to leave here determined. Remember that first point. Set it in our mind. At this time, God is my authority, and I will submit to all other authorities that are under Him. If we can help you in any way, why don't you come as we stand, as we sing.